Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, we did return to level 5 restrictions, as you well know, at the beginning of January after a brief relaxation over Christmas. But now, with the high infection rates in the country at the moment, people who may have returned to the office in some form are finding themselves back working from home. But this time around, it might be much harder to find the motivation to do it all again, if you like. So, you know, the novelty, the banana bread, they've all worn off. So Sinead English, career management consultant and founder of Hilt Career Consulting, she's with me now to tell us about how to get through it this time around, and it is different this time around. Welcome, Sinead. Sinead, we spoke to you in March of last year when people realised that they're going to be working from home. Back then it had a feel of, I'll call it novelty. So has the novelty worn off?
Hi, Dave. Yeah, I think the novelty wore off pretty fast for most people.
Yeah.
I think at the time back in March, I was talking about, like, there are basically two different groups of people. There's the people who are working from home and are also homeschooling. And then there's the people who are just, in inverted commas, working from home. So I think for all groups, the novelty has worn off. But, you know, interestingly, over the last 9 months or so, there's been a couple of surveys done on, you know, how much people like working from home. And back in April, about 12% of people said, you know, they would like to work from home full time. And by October, that had increased to about 27%. But I suspect that if you ask people now when they're back to homeschooling, that would be climbing back down to less than 10%.
Yeah, but also an awful lot of people are saying, look what I don't have to do anymore in terms of going into the office and that. Isn't it great? Not necessarily if you really examine some of the benefits that you get from going into the office without realising what those benefits often are. But anyway, that's another argument. Can I just put it down to almost two different types of people, those who have kids and those who haven't?
Yeah, I think the challenges are really, really different between the two. Because, I mean, you can't do two jobs at the same time. Well, most people can't. Some people are maybe superhuman and they can. But, you know, there are two jobs there. There's doing your job, your work, and then there's homeschooling and looking after kids. So what's tending to happen is you finish one and you start another. So that's a pretty long day.
All right, well, then let's take a look at the motivation here, because we're almost a year into this. And for people who've never worked from home before, they might be finding this difficult. If you've been back in the office but now find yourself back home, how do you start again when the motivation is low?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think you've got to put a structure in place, as difficult as that is when there's all these other external factors you know, at play. But putting a structure in place is really going to help you. And I think at the beginning, as you mentioned, Dave, it was a bit of a novelty and people were going, wow, this is great. I can go to work in my tracksuit and nobody's going to know. But that wears off pretty thin after a while. So having a plan and trying to keep to the plan is so important. I think what we find is when we're at work, you know, in the office or, you know, in a normal working environment, a lot of the time, you know, we're physically at work, but we're not working. So what are we doing? We're things like just walking to a meeting or getting into a cab and going to visit a client or even going up and down in the lift or going out to get a cup of coffee or, gosh, remember the days when we used to be able to go out and wander around the shops and see what was in the shops for 20 minutes. So all of that is now gone when we're working from home. And I think we need to reclaim a little bit of that back in terms of being more structured in taking breaks, because the temptation is when you're working from home or working remotely is to just fill your diary with stuff and you don't really prioritize the 10 minutes or 15 minutes here and there that you would normally have spent in the office just maybe chatting with somebody or walking around the corridor.
Well, working from home does suit an awful lot of people, obviously, but one of the main complaints is that the work, I don't know, it kind of bleeds much more easily into the rest of your life. How do you keep the two separate, and is it important, essential even, that you should?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think for your mental health, everybody needs to keep the two separate. And I think a lot of that comes down to who you're working for and what your manager is like. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of managers listening today that have got teams of people working for them. It's so important that you get in tune with your employees' situations at home, because everybody is going to be different. You'll be reasonable. But equally for employees, tell the manager what's going on at home. Set the expectations. Often managers say, right, OK, I need this by 5 o'clock or have this by 12 o'clock on Wednesday. And if that's just not going to work for you as an employee, it's really important to say that. Tell them when you're not available. You know, don't try and schedule meetings between 12 and 2 because I have to do X. And I think one of the big issues at the beginning of the first lockdown was managers not trusting employees, thinking, oh, they're going to be skiving all the time. But I think most employees have now proved they can get the job done They just maybe do it at different times of the day. So telling managers that I'm not going to be available within this time, or equally, don't send emails at 10 o'clock at night, because somebody then is going to, you know, most of our emails are now on our phone. They look at the email and they think, oh my gosh, I should respond to that. So if you're sending emails at that time of the evening, or maybe you're working at that time of the evening because that suits you, because you've got other things you need to do during the normal working hours, save them and send them in the morning. Just sending emails and people getting email pings at 10:30 or 10 o'clock at night can be quite disconcerting for people, because they feel, oh my gosh, I should respond.
And I presume the old diary kind of thing, like, you know, plan what to do after work and stick to it and whatever. And I also, like, you know, going for a walk situation. Going for a walk means you're leaving the office, even though the office is home.
Yeah, I mean, go exactly. Go for a walk, go outside, even stand up. I know a lot of people, you have these, the Fitbits or watches now that tell them to stand up every hour, you know, give them a reminder, because you can get stuck into something and you're sitting there for 3 hours. Whereas in a normal office situation, you wouldn't be doing that. So yeah, go outside, plan your breaks, put your breaks into your diary. So you've got an online diary, so, you know, 20 minutes every 2 hours or so, just block it off so that nobody puts a meeting in there. Temptation is to just overschedule and just keep going.
Do you know, it's all very well in some ways, but it doesn't always apply to everybody. Obviously, like, if you have a yard, or if you have a garden, or if you have a balcony or whatever, and many people certainly do not, how about the sort of constricted area? Like, everybody's in the same, like, you know, some people lucky enough to have rooms that they're able to work from, close the door when they're not working, etc. What if you're living with housemates, or the only place you can work is the kitchen table amongst all the chaos?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's fine for thinking, oh, I'll just go up to my home office and close the door. And, you know, yeah. Everything's lovely up here. Yeah. Can't hear all the kids screaming downstairs. Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, background blur, great friend. So whatever platform you're using, learn to put on virtual backgrounds, learn how to blur your background so that people can't see what's going on in the background. You know, if you're sharing a space with people. The other thing I'd say is you will definitely have improved your negotiation skills if you're in this situation, because you need to sit down with your housemates or your flatmates and say at the beginning of the week, right, well, what's on? Who needs the space? Who needs the little bit of the flat that actually looks like an office? For what time during the week? So you have to plan it out and negotiate with your flatmates so that you have a little bit of privacy. And you know what's interesting is... you know, one big change between March or, you know, the start of the lockdown and now is that when you would be on calls with colleagues or clients and, you know, video calls, and back in the early days, one of their children would kind of wander into the background back of the screen or start screeching. You know, they would nearly like just end the call straight away or slap down the laptop so that you wouldn't notice that this was going on in the background. But what I have noticed, and I'm sure lots of others have noticed as well now, is that if that happens now, you know, the clients or the people that you're speaking to are kind of going, oh yeah, that's my daughter, you know, Sophie, why don't you come and say hi? You know, it's become a lot more normal now, and nobody's trying to hide the fact that they actually have a normal life going on in the background.
Yeah, right. So basically, if you have kids running around, you should kind of make sure your boss knows about this, you know, extra pressure. But, like, you know, once everybody knows, you can get on with it. What about getting dressed? I mean, getting dressed for the day in board. And I don't mean half-dressed, by the way. I don't mean naked from the waist down. I mean, like, even if you don't have Zoom meetings or anything like that, should you do it for your head?
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good question, because when lockdown happened first lockdown, everyone got very excited about, oh, this is great. I don't have to do all of, you know, getting all dressed up and going into the office every day. And maybe there was a little bit of, you know, wearing a nice top, and then so they couldn't see what you were wearing on the bottom half of you. It didn't really matter. But I have spoken to a lot of people over the last 2 months or so who said to me they've actually started dressing up now more. Even though they're working from home, they're kind of over the whole tracksuit bottoms and sweatpants, and they're saying, do you know what, I'm actually going to look a little bit smart because it's better for my head. And we would always, ever before all this madness started, when we're working with clients and doing interview training for them, and they tell us that they have a telephone interview, you know, which, you know, the client or the interviewer can't actually see you, we would always have recommended that for a telephone interview you get fully kitted out in your interview gear, because you definitely give a better performance.
Yeah, it's like all the newsreaders on RTE. For years, they never dressed from the waist down at all, and now they all do standing up business, so they have to buy twice as many outfits. Okay, so so if that's one thing. Just in general, then, other things that you can do to get yourself into the right mindset. And I'm talking, I suppose, everything from productivity to routine.
Well, as I said before, planning your day, putting breaks in there, being realistic about what you can deliver for a day or for a week. Have an open relationship with your boss, back to the managers again, that the employees feel that they can have that conversation with you. You know, people have been thrust now into the homeschooling where everything goes out the window. You know that expression that often, well, it's attributed to Mike Tyson, where he says that everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. I kind of think it's a bit like that. You start off the week going, this is what I'm going to do and everything's going to be great. And then it all goes haywire after a couple of hours, especially if there's children in the house. So have a plan, but you know, don't really put yourself under massive pressure to stick to it. Put plenty of leeway in the plan for things going wrong. Get outside, even if you're just standing out in, you know, outside your building and you can't particularly go for a walk. Mm-hmm. Just get some fresh air, or even stand up. You know, who thought that it was a good idea that we sit down for 8 hours a day when in the office? I mean, I've seen these adverts for these stand-up desks. You know, I don't have one, but you know, you don't need to have a stand-up desk in order to be standing up quite a lot of time. If you're on the phone to somebody, you can be standing up doing the call. Yeah. It really, really helps. Well, and one other thing I'd say, Dave, is just to fix the space that you're in. You know, when this all started first, it was all a bit haphazard and people were thrown into home working. So maybe you were working in the spare room that is also doubles up as a junk room for everything. And you maybe got a lamp and you set it up on a table and it's a bit wonky and it's still there and it's still in that situation. And if you can try and make it a bit better, just by taking a step back and saying, right, okay, I'm going to be here for a while. What can I do to actually make this space look a little bit better so that nicer for me to walk in there?
Yeah, you could do what I did too. You could go to an old bookshop and buy lots of Sol Zhenitsyn books and put them up behind you to look even more brainy than I already am. Okay, let's take a look. Yeah. By the way, we are talking to Sinead English, a career management consultant and founder of Hilt Career Consulting. So in your job there, Sinead, what are you hearing from people about the challenges that they're facing?
Well, again, it comes down to people who are working from home with children. If you've got two parents living in the house, it's so much easier because you can split it up between you. If you don't, if it's a single parent, then that is pretty hellish. I mean, let's face it, trying to do all of that. You know, kids tend to be, you know, they're out of their school routine. They're a bit cranky. You know, people just say, right, okay, you have an idea that you don't want to be in front of the TV much or on screens, but that kind of goes out the window. Mm. So that's really hard. And I think there's a lot of people out there who feel that they're half doing everything. You know, they're half doing the homeschooling, they're half doing their job, they're half tidying the house. So give yourself a break, cut yourself some slack. Say now is not the time to be going for perfection every time. There's a lot of these TV programs out at the moment where they talk about like tidying people's houses. People get addicted to them. I would say stay away from those. In real life, your house is not going to be like that. So
I think one of the obvious benefits has to be that the huge commutes are a thing of the past for a lot of people. So they're gaining time that they'd otherwise spend in transit. I mean, just finally, anxiety. It must be generally pretty high at this time as well. There seems to be an endless stream of bad news. What can employers do to get the best out of their employees who are working from home?
Employers need to tell their employees or just make it clear to them that they trust what they're doing, that there's a lot of leeway about schedules and when things need to be done, so that employees don't feel like they are always doing a bad job or not ever reaching the targets that they should be reaching. So, I mean, it's about open communication. It's about being flexible. But, you know, there's a lot of benefits for employers. We've been speaking to a couple of clients of ours who work for, should we say, large global tech multinational companies. They're all now working from home. One of them has told us that he is at least three times more productive working from home because all of the distractions and the interruptions are gone. So the employers are getting a lot out of this from having their employees at home. So making sure that the employees have all the right kit and lights and headphones, that should not be something that the employers are scrimping on.
All right. Well, then obviously we'll be asking questions whenever things go back to, if they do, normal. We'll be asking questions about that. Of what could the new? Oh, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say new and normal.
Don't say
in the same
it.
Sentence. I am not going to say that. Okay, Sinead. Listen, thanks a million for talking to us on the program today. As in Sinead English, career management consultant and founder of Hilt Career Consulting. Thanks a million, Sinead.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.